Hello, this is Bit Depth number 1499, which appeared in the Trinidad and Tobago Newsday on February 24th, 2025, under the headline, Is E-Money a Solution in Search of a Problem? The conversation around e-money, digital cash transactions, digital payments, and electronic value transfer has been a curious mix of blustery announcements and radio silence over the 3 months I've been asking questions in the space. This column only became possible because on the afternoon of the second day of the 2025 TT Internet Governance Forum on January 31st, an unusually frank discussion between TTIFC CEO John Outridge, Paywise founder Ian T. Allen, and Pinaka Consulting's Shiva Bisessa offered insight into some of the issues. Prior to that, questions sent to e-money issuer Allen went unanswered. An email requesting a Q&A on the status of Republic Bank's NCash sent to Parasram Salakram of Republic Finance was opened, but there was no response. TSDT has not begun operations of its paper e-money project. PBS Technologies announced last week that it was ending its payment system in Trinidad and Tobago. WePay has stopped promoting its services as a medium of digital value transfer. Simon Fortune of Pesh Money declined to disclose transaction volumes and explained that it is beginning operations with an emphasis on collaborations, pointing to a partnership with the Project U Foundation to enable effortless charitable giving. At this time, we do not offer a business merchant service. That is a deliberate choice, Fortune said. The infrastructure required to support a merchant payment system at a standard we would be proud to uphold simply does not exist yet. Building a merchant platform presents its own set of challenges, including interoperability, regulatory considerations, and market readiness. Rather than rushing to introduce a solution that involves too many trade-offs, we are taking a measured approach. Questions put to the central bank after the announcement of a memorandum of understanding to license India's Unified Payments Interface, or UPI, went through weeks of contemplation, and a resubmission for clarification on the responses took more than 2 months. At the TTIGF discussion, several themes emerged that seemed to clarify the current situation and future challenges. UPI is expected to be a major force in the electronic payments sector. It is a fast payments platform, digital from end to end, and according to the central bank, in its responses to questions, will cost its users either very little or zero to use. In responses attributed to Alistair Noel, CBTT's senior manager, macroeconomics and payments, but clearly massaged by lawyers and corporate communications professionals, the bank cagily explained that the government collaborated with the National Payments Corporation of India, NPCI, and the NPCI International Payments Limited, NIPL, operation to use UPI. The bank assessed several fast payment systems globally, and in collaboration with the Digital Transformation Ministry, concluded that the UPI system was considered the most mature, readily available, aligned with the needs of the TT population, approved concept, and certified, Noel explained. The Ministry of Digital Transformation has indicated that in their judgment, directly partnering with an experienced entity like NIPL will expedite the deployment process and leverage proven expertise. It's important to note here that while Trinidad and Tobago will own the hardware used for this project, the software is being licensed from NPCI for a fee. The central bank declined to disclose the cost to be incurred for its use, citing a non-disclosure agreement. In December, we had the team from UPI in Trinidad and Tobago, said John Outridge at the forum. They were looking at the financial landscape, they visited the different players, they had meetings with fintechs, credit unions, different stakeholders. So right now, it has a point of functional requirements. UPI is a vanilla switching platform, but you have different functionalities, bill payments, person-to-person payments, you can even do subscription payments. It's worth noting here that there does not appear to have been any prior consultation with the stakeholders who will actually be expected to integrate this new fast payment system into their businesses. That stakeholder body includes 8 commercial banks, 5 e-money issuers, and 129 credit unions. According to the central bank, a year was spent examining fast payment systems in countries where they had been deployed successfully, and systems such as Brazil's PIX and the International Development Bank's FUSE developed specifically for Latin America and the Caribbean, were rejected in favor of India's UPI. It seems unusual for a financial market as fiercely competitive as ours, with as many players delivering services on only marginally interoperable systems, to not have been extensively consulted or included in the considerations of the Digital Transformation Ministry and the Central Bank. Was this process an instance of government knows best in decision making? Technology is only part of the problem, Shiva Bisesa noted. According to Bisesa, the blockchain initially evolved as a way to solve the double spend problem with cryptocurrency, in which a token could be used more than once. Since then, blockchain has been deployed in other spaces, not just payment, and even Bitcoin isn't primarily used to transfer value. It's used to hoard, to retain capital gains over a period of time. And blockchain technology is just one aspect of digital financial services. Over the past 10 years, we've seen expansion in the Caribbean, an uptick in different types of projects and deployments that require fintech. But utilizing the technology beyond a technical means to deliver a public good, that's the important part. Digital public infrastructure needs to be built up to improve payment systems, credit instruments, digital identity. The technology is just a layer on which you deliver that public good.
The print version of this column was trimmed to meet column lengths for the newspaper. This reading by the author is the complete version of the column. The song Wonderland, composed and performed by Peter Shim, is used with his kind permission. This column and other technology reporting archives are also to be found at technewstt.com. Thanks for listening. Bye.